Welcome to Campus Stories. This is a 10-part series which examines non-traditional routes to third level education. This programme series was funded by the Higher Education Authority and Wired FM. It is produced and presented by Chloe Liddy Judge and Damien O'Brien. In this programme, we talk to a number of different older mature students about their backgrounds and their return to third level education. Ava is a French woman who has been living in Limerick for many years. She had been to college before in France but had dropped out. She is now a first year BA here in Mary Immaculate. Mick left school when he was 13, but when he lost his job, he decided to go back and to sit his leaving certificate. He is now a second year BA. Kathy had left her secretarial job when she got married, so she could focus on raising her family. However, as her children got older, she decided she would return to education. She has completed a BA and is now in the middle of an MA. We talked to a number of different older mature students about their backgrounds and why they decided to return to third level education.
My name is Michael Dwyer, Mick. I'm known as Mick, and I'm a mature student. And basically, I left school at a very young age. I wasn't quite 13 when I left. And as I got a little older, I always regretted not having a formal education. So I decided to go back and do my leaving cert, which I did at the Adult Education College in Sexsmith, Limerick. And I was encouraged there by my teachers, especially my facilitator, as we call it, or group leader, to apply for a place in college and go for further education, which I had never dreamed of. But due to her encouragement, I went ahead and I applied and I was successful.
My background, well, there's one thing I cannot hide from you, is that I'm a foreigner. I'm French. I've lived here for donkey's years. I've been about 20 odd years in Ireland, living in Limerick the whole time. So, you know, I fancy myself to be a Limerick person because, you know, of the expressions I use. But, you know, I don't fool anybody but myself. So I was born in France. This is my second time going to college. The first time I thought I was very smart by dropping out at the beginning of second year. And ever since then, I've been working at quite a few different things. I didn't have a traditional career pattern, I suppose, as a result of not having a primary degree. And so I've moved from one industry to another, from one country to another. And here I am now, you know, happy as Larry.
I'm married for 24 years. I have three children, and two of them have just finished their degrees now, and one of them is 16.
So in my last job, I was made redundant after 8 years, and I was at an age where you find it a bit awkward. You know, people say, yes, you have all the qualifications, but, you know, there's been other candidates who were more successful than you, meaning, you know, we think you're too old for the job. But they never tell you. So after quite a few months of that, I was getting a bit dispirited until I hit on the idea of taking a class and becoming a special needs assistant. So while I was in the process of doing that, I went to see a man in Dominic Street in the welfare office who was very helpful, helped me get a grant to do the night class. And at the same time, it just came out like out of the blue. He asked me, what do you want to do and what do you really want to do? And I said, well, I really want to go to college. And the second before I said it, I couldn't have said I was going, you know, I wasn't even thinking it. But the minute it was out, I realized that's what I had always wanted to do. And somehow, you know, it had never been possible.
I'm 47 now. It was really when I just was heading up to 40, which I think is the time that you start to look inward in a way. Well, certainly for me it was. And I realised that my role really, while it wasn't over, it was changing. And the children were older. There were two of them were gone. And I no longer really had to be there all the time to do things like homework and things like that. And I had done the baking thing. You know, we were all putting on weight. So the novelty of that wore off. And I had done loads of courses. I had done things like pottery, knitting, cookery, creative writing. I just did lots of little things like that, yoga, etc., etc. So, and I read a lot. So really, I suppose what I'm trying to say is that I wanted to do I wanted to achieve something for myself that I could perhaps use when the children were completely gone and go out into the workforce.
It was kind of thrust upon me because the company that I worked for shut down, and I found it actually difficult to actually find employment. So I just said I'd go and seek a different type of career, you know, a career change. And like I said previously, I always regretted not having doing my leaving stuff anyway, first and foremost, and decided to do that first.
So, they all wanted to go to college, but how did they go about it?
I applied for the BA course here. I just picked up the phone and rang. I rang them and they explained what I had to do and they sent me out all the information. They're very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And I got all of the information and I applied. Now, it did dawn on me that I might get it.
I saw an ad in the Limerick Leader. There's a lot of ads about education. And since I was looking for a professional training course, I couldn't fail seeing them. And until now, for all the years I lived in Limerick, I was living near UL. I couldn't see a course that would really be suitable for me because I came from a liberal background, what we call a literary background in France. And everything was very scientific. And I didn't have the qualification. I didn't have the inclination either. So the BA in liberal arts was really what I thought, you know, the first time I saw a course that I thought was suitable. And also I'm very interested in the cinema. So media and radio, by the way, I must add. So the BA in media and communication seemed just fine for me.
Although Mick, Ava and Kathy were nervous about the interview, the panel put them at ease.
I don't think, as close as I've lived to this college, I've never actually stepped inside the gate of it.
Yeah.
And it was completely alien to me, you know, but thankfully the interviewers made me feel very comfortable, and it's not so nerve-wracking after all because they do make you feel comfortable during the interview, you know.
Well, of course, I was extremely nervous because of all the failed job interviews I had behind me. But I was immediately put at ease and told that, my qualifications were sufficient and that I would have no problem. And on the contrary, that I would sort of have something to offer to the class, which was great to boost my self-confidence.
I had the interview. I don't know how I got the place here because I was so anxious. Even now talking about it, it brings me back. I had two very nice people interviewing me from the college, two lecturers. And they asked me loads of questions. I couldn't actually answer them. I actually said, I'm sorry, I have a blank. I don't know. I couldn't remember books I'd read. I just couldn't interact. I was so unbelievably nervous. Now, that really rattled me because it made me vulnerable. And I suppose because I was at home, I was in charge of my own little microcosm in a way. And I was head honcho and I had raised a family and, you know, I had enjoyed it and done well and so on and so forth.
We asked Brian Clancy, who works with the Learner Support Unit, and Susan Liddy, who lectures in both gender studies and media studies, about their experiences with mature students, how focused they are, and what problems they can have.
My name is Brian Clancy.
I suppose my official title is Project Support Worker in the Learner Support Unit. I predominantly work with mature students. The LSU kind of started up to support mature students in college and, you know, recognise that they have different needs to the undergraduate, well, to the 17, 18-year-old undergraduate students. Yeah.
My name is Susan Liddy and I lecture in the Department of Media and Communications, and I also teach the Gender Studies elective to second years. I think generally the college has a very high profile in terms of the intake of mature students. Now, just to give you an example, I teach first year media students. So in any given year, we would have maybe 10, 12 of those students being mature students. Sometimes they're mature in the sense of just being a couple of years out of school. And at other times then they have been away from education for quite a long time. I think the first thing that should be said is that this discussion about mature students, we know that there is a category of people who come under the heading of mature students, but within that category, there's huge difference as well. So generally speaking, I think mature students would be more focused. They probably have a lot at stake. Some of them would have given up employment, for instance. Others would have raised a family and be going back to give themselves a second chance. So they would have a lot at stake, they would have a lot riding on it, and they need to get it right. So therefore, they tend to take it very seriously, they tend to be very focused, and they tend to kind of come at it, I suppose, with a single-mindedness that sometimes you don't get with students straight out of college, simply because they are aware of the fact that this is a second chance for them. They put the work in, undoubtedly, many mature students. They are not there to mess around. They put the work in. So there is a sense sometimes where mature students will approach you and go, well, look, you know, I spent X number of hours studying this. I spent X number of hours researching for this essay and writing it. Why did I not get a much higher grade? And sometimes I think that their expectations initially may be a little too high, insofar as they cannot understand that sometimes studying something does not necessarily equate a very high grade. You don't always get an A simply because you put 6 hours into preparing for an essay. That there's a skill to the preparing of the essay and a skill to the marshalling of arguments and the way that you debate points and so on. And I think it's probably because mature students are used to working, kind of giving their job 100%, making the decision to come to college, and they feel that if they're determined and focused, there's no reason why they shouldn't absolutely, you know, get back what they've put into it. And sometimes you need to explain to them that there is a period of adaptation required when they come to college, that it is going to take time sometimes to get into that mindset, and time for the thoughts that they have in their head and the arguments that they have in their head to be put on paper in a way that best represent them, and then of course in a way that will get them a better grade. And sometimes they do find that a little difficult to understand, and I have had a number of discussions with mature students who just have been unable to accept that they didn't get an A because of the effort that they put in.
From drawn on my own experience of being in college, you know, when I went to college I was only 17, and you know, college it was in a sense a nuisance. You know, it was like I was out on my own for the first time ever. You know, I was living with four lads. We were having a great time. You know, socially, we were having a brilliant time. Academically, we weren't having a great time. But, you know, that's when you're 17 or 18. A lot of the mature students are coming in. You know, they might have given up their jobs to come here, you know, and, you know, giving up your job, maybe you're back down to one salary, you know, maybe you're just on your back to education allowance, you know, and there's a lot riding on it. I think the academic issues are similar for mature students, and we'll say for other students, in that, well, especially for mature students anyway, they have to learn very specific writing skills when they come to university. So that's, we'll say, the first academic problem they have. So you might have note-taking, for example, in lectures, you know. Some people will try to write down every single word the lecturer says, you know, and it's impossible. So, you know, note-taking would be one writing skill, and then the main one then would be the academic writing itself, so essay writing, because that's one of the primary means of assessment. So, you know, that's a big change. If you think of the writing you do every day from day to day, you know, you might write a shopping list, yeah. or a text message, which in essence is spoken language, it's not written language.
Yeah.
So you're not, you know, you're not exposed to a lot of writing. And academic writing is a very, very specific subset of writing,
yeah.
you know. So I think that's the main academic problem. But they also have problems with things like time management, for example.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of mature students would have a family. So, you know, trying to fit the family in with studies, in with lectures, you know, when do you study? When do you have time to pick up the kids? When do you have time to get your essay done? You know, so we help them with time management as well. So
they've done the interview and have been accepted. We asked Mick, Ava and Kathy what their first day was like.
I had an experience of going back to doing my leaving and being back at in the educational system. So when I did come to college, I had that first step over me, you know, but it was still a bit daunting, you know, because it's a big step up.
No, I thought the day of the interview, this is, you know, I'm not going to get this. I just said, it's ridiculous. I'm too nervous. I can't articulate or express what it is I want to express. And, you know, how can they make a judgment? But anyway, they did. And I was delighted. And I accepted it. And I started. The very first day I came, I was surprised. I was considered myself a confident person, but I did feel vulnerable on the first day because I looked around at a sea of people and I was alone and everybody seemed to be in groups.
Yeah.
And I think some of the mature students came in through
Access course.
So they had their little groups and then all the young people, they were in their groups. Well, it appeared to me that everybody had a friend and I did feel alone.
The first week was a bit apprehensive, and after that I was like a fish in water.
So after that first day, what other challenges faced them?
When I came to college, I couldn't turn on the computer, literally. So I did, you know, as part of the electives, I did the IT. I was useless. I mean, how that poor girl Niamh had the patience with me. And I have to say, a lot of the other matures that did it, we were just so panicky. You know, I think it's this technology thing and females of my generation. But with her patience, we mastered it. Yeah, now I'm computer literate, I should say.
I'm not very computer literate. Yeah. I'm basic. I learned in the adult education college just the very basic. I wouldn't be very computer literate, but I can do enough to be able to get me through my college life, you know. But I'm not computer whiz kid, like, but it's mostly you need to be able to, we'll say, research the line of course and the library.
Yeah.
You know, the library and then to be able to do a bit on the internet and your Microsoft Word, I suppose, is the most important thing, you know.
Sometimes it appears there is a social division between the mature students and those students who have come straight from school. We wanted to know, had they experienced this?
My son is 22, so, I like to hang around with young people. Of course, I can understand that some people see me as somebody, I mean, I have to admit that I am older than a grandmother, so I can see why they wouldn't want to hang around with me. But some don't have a problem, and that's enough to keep me happy.
Never conscious of that bracket of being a mature student.
Yeah.
Until my kids started saying, because they were actually going to college at the same time, and they were teasing me and saying, "Oh, I bet you know, you're one of the matures." And they started to bandy this word around matures.
Yeah.
You're one of the matures. And I was kind of laughing because it was my own children that were teasing me. But they were saying things like, my son particularly was saying, I bet you sit up at the front. And I bet you you interrupt the lecturer all the time with questions. And I was, no, I don't do that. I'm not that type of person. But I do sit up at the front, but I sit up at the front because I can't hear properly. So all this went on. And then, you know, that was in my mind then. And then I became aware that all the youngsters refer to us as the matures. And even, like, I met some really, really lovely young students and that I interacted with, that I had, you know, I had their phone numbers, that I texted and they texted me. And particularly, I suppose, through working in Wired FM.
Yeah.
I built up relationships. Maybe I was the kind of mother in the relationship, but still it was a relationship.
Yeah.
And of course, I was much older than them, but it was still very positive.
There can also be a division between younger mature students and older mature students. We asked if they thought it was easier for mature students in their 20s to return to education.
I wouldn't like to make a judgment on that because they have their own tugs and pulls.
Yeah.
Be it social life or whatever, they still have their own. Now, they don't, okay, they don't have a mortgage, they don't have children, but still they have jobs, they have rents, you know, they have to look after themselves, they have a social life, and like that's not to be flippant because a social life is very important.
Yeah.
So I think they have their own tugs. I don't see how it would be easier.
No, I think they are at an awkward age. I remember when I was 23 and, you know, youth is finished and you have to enter adulthood, and you look at people who are a few years younger than you and you feel that there's an enormous gap. So, yeah, no, I think it's a bit more awkward for them.
We asked Susan Liddy and Brian Clancy the same question.
I suppose visually, if I'm saying to you, if you look out at a class, sometimes what we're calling now younger mature students wouldn't even be seen by me unless I knew the situation to be mature students. So they're nearer, obviously, the out of school leavers visually, and maybe in that sense blend in and feel that they are like those. But I don't know about this kind of dividing who has the easier ride, who's blending in better. I think it's a matter of mature students have a set of difficulties that are their own. They have a set of advantages that are their own. And similarly with the younger people. I guess in a way, if you are 23 or 4, it hasn't been so long since you've studied, so maybe you're able to get back into it quicker. Having said that, many of the older mature students, if you like to say that, have been in responsible jobs where they've had to draw on a lot of expertise, and maybe they've got that to tap into.
And maybe there isn't such a big gap, you know, between, so it isn't such a strange thing to be coming, because, I mean, for some people it can be very intimidating to come to a campus with 2,000 students, you know, to come from, we'll say, what was your life before to something that's completely different, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so maybe, I'm not sure about how much easier it is for them, but maybe in that respect it is, you know.
A couple of the mature students that we spoke to mentioned that Mary Immaculate was ideal for them due to its size and atmosphere.
They do everything possible to make us feel at ease, to refresh us in IT, for instance, and foundation studies. And everybody is so nice to me. I've never been treated so nicely in my life.
I feel the college look is very receptive to all students, and especially mature students, you know.
Yeah. Because it's smaller, it's more informal. I know from talking to my children that, you know, they don't know any of the lecturers. The lecturers don't know any of their names. Everything was too big. You don't go and see your lecturers, really. It's not encouraged. They're always too busy. So I didn't find that here. It was welcoming.
Well, I think if I was in UL for instance, that I feel myself, it may not be the case, but I just feel that I'd be a very small fish in a very big pond, you know.
I mean, I think Mary Immaculate College is a great college, no matter what age you are. And I've heard younger students who have tried other colleges say, you know, I didn't do so well. I left the degree programme in whatever other college they were, and I have thrived in Mary I because it is small, it is intimate. Now, for mature students coming back, you aren't a number on a page or a name, an anonymous face in a sea of faces. And I think at some of the bigger universities, that can happen. So in Mary I, but sometimes you don't want this to be the case, of course, you are known, usually, by lecturers, by tutors. And for mature students, that's a great thing because you're not lost. You know that lecturers are milling around the corridors, small space, milling around the corridors, very available, very open to meeting you. It's not sort of a daunting thing where you're afraid to approach the lecturer. And just generally, there is a friendly, welcoming attitude and a lovely atmosphere for mature students, I think, because we obviously welcome mature students. And that is something that is part of the college ethos.
Yeah, I think the size and the services do it, you know. Mary I is a very, very personal college in a lot of senses compared to, I mean, if you compare the numbers, you know, what UL must have upwards above 10,000 students, I suppose. From my own experience, I remember in UCG, the lectures were very detached, but I don't know whether that was because I never went really looking for a lecture or not. I remember there was one occasion I went looking for a lecture and the outcome wasn't very good, all right, because, you know, it was kind of, they didn't seem to want me in the office at all. But from my experience, that's not what happens in Mary Eye, you know. There really is the personal touch. And I think that's reflected in our dropout rate with mature students as well, which is really low compared to other colleges.
So, what's next for them?
I haven't decided about whether I want to continue on or take a job, but the type of job that I would like and that I've always been interested in is something along the lines of maybe a heritage centre or the archives in a museum or something like that, because I love those kind of things. You know.
I'm doing MA now. I don't know what I'm going to do after it. I would hope I would do something.
Yeah.
I'm 47 now. I don't know. I mean, I'm free, if you like. You know, the children are sort of on the way. And I would like to do something, but I don't know what. Once you start with education at this age, I don't think you stop. Well, education never stops anyway. It's a bit like going on the journey of awareness, I suppose. Once you start the journey, you never get off that track. But I suppose I think about doing a PhD. I would, yeah, but I'm like that anyway. Once I'm doing something, I'm always thinking about the next thing I can do. And I suppose I've time now and I've energy and, you know, I'm enjoying it.
We asked a couple of the mature students what advice they would give to someone else considering returning to education.
Do what you feel an urge for doing, because it's no good people telling you what to do. It's no good listening to advice or doing something because you think it will be good for you. You have to want to do it. You have to have the urge. You come to college for yourself and you have to have enormous motivation behind you. And if you have it, then you'll be okay.
I know there are people out there that are scared. You know, well, from what they tell me, they say things like, oh, I'd love to do that, but I just wouldn't be able. I wouldn't be able for it. And of course they would. It's ridiculous. But they just keep, you know, and these people have gone through the education system. You know, they've achieved their junior cert or inter cert as it was then, their leaving cert. They've been working, they've been mothers, you know, whatever. And of course they would.
This programme is part of a 10-part series funded by the Higher Education Authority and Wired FM. We would like to thank everyone who participated in this programme and to wish them well in their studies. This programme was produced and presented by Damien O'Brien and Chloe Liddy-Judge.